Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you tuning in today. I hope you will continue to stay with us. Today, this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love to take an opportunity right now to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We are located just a few miles outside of Boone on Highway 105 South. Take a right hand on Baird's Creek Road, and we are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We'd love for you to come be with us. We have Sunday school for all ages. We have Sunday school beginning at 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. We have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And then every second and fourth Sunday night, we have our Sunday night worship service. Sometimes we have a missionary or young preacher, or I'll bring a special message dealing with something. Last second Sunday night, or maybe that was first Sunday night, I preached a message on what the Bible says about wine, and just take some time and deal with these things. And so we'd love for you to come and be with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and radio broadcaster on there, sermons preached at the church, church information, address, phone number, all those things. And so we want to invite you to come. If you do not have a church home, if you're looking for a church home, come and visit with us. We will make you feel welcome, do our best to do that. Now, I want to say hello to Noah. He's here today. I appreciate him and all his hard work. He helps me. We've been working on other radio work already today, and so I really appreciate that. Noah, you all right today?
I am. It's good to be here this morning, and we do want to say how much we appreciate our listeners. And I was going to mention, our church had a float in the Christmas parade this past Saturday. And while we were there, my sister and Abigail, she met someone there who said that she listened in. And it's always good to hear from people who listen in. Good to hear some feedback. So we do appreciate our listeners. We do want to say welcome to those who are listening in here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
Thank you, Noah. I appreciate that. And we're going to get right into our study today. Those of you that are regular listeners, you know that we have been studying signs of the times. And I've given a little review almost every week since we've been looking at this. But what got me interested in studying this is a 100-year-old book called Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin. And it's a book about prophecy and Bible study. And Mr. Larkin, the very last chapter in that book is The Signs of the Times, chapter number 34. And to let you know how old the book is, the chapter numbers are given in Roman numerals. And so this book's been around a long time. But when I was studying for something else, I come across this, The Signs of the Times. And that's something you will hear people say from time to time, just about any world event, anything that really makes the news, that's catastrophic, tragedy, surprise, you'll hear somebody say, well, that's just signs of the times. That's a sign of the times. Well, what do people mean exactly by that? Is that just something to say when we don't know what else to say? Are there specific signs of the times that we can look to in the Bible and say, yes, this, that are specific, that are identifiable, that are recognizable? I said that last week as we were going off the air concerning signs of the times. And so Mr. Larkin gives 10 signs of the times. It's the shortest chapter in the book, and these are just little paragraphs about what to look for in the last days. He says in the beginning paragraph, he said, while we cannot name the exact date of the Lord's return, its nearness may be known by the character of the times. And I think that's an interesting sentence, by the character of the times. And so we're going to look today at number 9, signs of the times. We've been in this for many weeks now. We said, though, first of all, and I'll just quickly go over these first 8 signs of the times, is postmillennial scoffers. And what that means is just those who would scoff at the idea of the Lord's return. 2 Peter 3:3-4 says that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now that is a self-deception that anybody would say, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I know that's a long sentence, but everything is not the same as it's always been. Yes, there are certain characteristics, but things are always changing in the world, and they are moving in a certain direction. They are moving in the direction of Bible prophecy. Exactly what the Bible says is going to take place in the last days is what is happening in the world today. So there will be those that will scoff and mock concerning this. So we have that as number 1. I've got to speed up. There's apostasy. We talked about that. That just means a defection from the truth, a falling away. There are false teachers in the last days. 2 Peter 2:1-2 talks about false teachers who shall privily or privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. We gave many examples of false teachers. Spiritualism, demonism, a fascination with the occult, the underworld, demons, all things black and dark. And we talked about that. That is spiritualism, that in the last days there will be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Then we talked about perilous times. We are definitely living in perilous times, dangerous times, weakening times. We talked about heaped up treasure. James chapter 5 verses 1-6 talks about the rich men in the last days who have heaped up treasure for the last days. And so we see a vast amount of wealth in the world and a vast amount of poverty. We see the middle class being erased. We see the ultra-rich, big corporations, and I'm not anti-corporation, but what we see is the money in the world tends to be going into the same coffers, and the middleman is backing up. He's moving out of the middle class, but he's not getting richer. He's getting poorer. It's not that there is a lack of money. There's plenty of money. There's plenty of riches in the world, but who has them? Who gets them? Who obtains them? These rich men heaping up treasure for the last days. Then we said number 7, there's the Laodicean church, an apostate, cold, lukewarm church in the last days. Revelation chapter number 3. And then last week we looked at this subject of the fig tree sign. The fig tree sign is the blooming or the revival again, the coming together again of the nation of Israel to their biblical homeland, coming home to Jerusalem, coming home and being gathered together there. Now, today, we're going to look at number 9. This is very interesting. We're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 21, verses 24-27. And number 9, sign of the times, is the distress of nations. And I'm going to read this little paragraph in Mr. Larkin's book just to give you what he said. This is copyrighted again in 1918. And he says it's a 30-year work. So we're going back into the late 1800s, early 1900s. He says, sign of the times, there's going to be distress of nations. And Mr. Larkin says, in Luke 21, 24 through 27, Jesus tells us that as the times of the Gentiles come to a close, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves. And Mr. Larkin has a parenthesis there to explain the sea and the waves. He says the peoples of the earth. And I'm not going to get into this in a big way today, but in the Bible, when you see the sea and the waves, that is a representation of the nations of the world, the multitudes, the people in the world, when you see this sea and the waves. And I'm not going to go through the Bible and give examples of that, but that's what he's referring to. And then he picks up again in the verses, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven. And he refers to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, where it talks about the principalities and powers of the air. And so that's what that powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And Mr. Larkin says in the prophecy of Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7, we read, thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. The desire of all nations is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. So after the shaking of the nations, then will come the Lord Jesus Christ, the desire of all nations. This, and Mr. Larkin says, this has never been fulfilled as yet. And the present distress of nations, the uprising of the masses in national revolutions, the tottering thrones, and other indications that the nations are being shaken is still further proof that we are living in the times just preceding the appearing of the Son of Man, the desire of all nations, who will bring peace to this troubled earth. So, pardon me, that's what we're going to look at today, the distress of the nations. And a lot we could say about this, a great deal we could say about the distress of nations. And honestly, we could put our finger on the timeline of human history, and there's always been national turmoil. There's always been this tottering of thrones that Mr. Larkin refers to, these national revolutions. But he said at the very beginning, and I read this, the character of the times. Now, if Mr. Larkin has copyrighted this book, 1918, he's writing about the time period of World War One. Of course, that's called World War because of all the nations that were involved in World War One. Well, that was the war to end all wars. But if you know your history, you know that's nothing's been farther from the truth. That did not end all wars. There's been consecutive, since that time, turmoil, revolution, changing of national borders, fighting, World War II, on and on and on we could go since that time. And so even if you go back to the days of the Lord Jesus, there was turmoils, fighting, empires, expanding, all of these things has always been all through history, revolutions and uprisings. But I say that to say this, in Luke chapter number 21, the difference is in Luke chapter number 21, there is this specific reference to the nation of Israel. When the nation of Israel is regathered together and comes upon the scene, it starts what we might say a snowball effect among the nations. One thing leads to another thing, another thing, another thing. And you think about all these nations that are involved with the nation of Israel. Now, Luke chapter 21, And we've already read part of these verses, but verse number 23 says, "But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles." Now let me stop right there and say that was literally fulfilled in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman armies of Titus. We referred to that just a little bit last week. So verse 23 and 24 has been literally fulfilled in history. And it said there, "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles." And then it says, "until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." And so this verse literally has happened. These verses has already happened historically. The spreading of Israel among the nations are being led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. For 1800 years, Israel was dispersed into all the nations of the world. And Jesus said that this is the way it would be until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, that Jerusalem would be trodden down or controlled by Gentile powers until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, Jerusalem was in the hand of various Gentile powers since AD 70. The Romans took over then. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed the city. They dispersed most of the Jews. And it's just been one Gentile power after another that has had control over Jerusalem. The last two Gentile powers to have control over Jerusalem has been the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish or Muslim world. And then in the early 1800s, when Mr. Larkin is writing, you have the Gentile, or the, he calls it the Christian nation. The British Empire takes over control of Jerusalem. But since 1948, Israel has been a free and independent nation state. So this is specifically tied in with what happens to the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. I mentioned last week, this ties in with last week, the fig tree sign that the Lord Jesus spoke about. Now, we were in the book of Matthew last week. This week, we're reading in the book of Luke. But if you go on down to Luke chapter 21, verse 29, it said, "And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees." Now, the fig tree in the Bible is a type of Israel. He said, "When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand." We know when spring comes, we know when the trees begin to bud, that summer is coming. That's what he's making the comparison to. Then verse 31, "So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." So the Lord Jesus is referring to the fig tree, the budding, the blooming, the coming forth again of the nation of Israel. That literally happened in 1948. Now you go back to verse number 24, and Jesus said, "until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." And so this distress of nations is tied in with Israel coming back into the land, the Gentile powers losing control or power over the city of Jerusalem. And so we look in verse number 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Distress of nations with perplexity. Now this word distress, if you look that up and study about it, it comes from a word. It literally means restraint from, to hold together, to compress the ears. So you think about somebody that there's so much commotion and noise going on that they would put their hands upon their ears and cover their ears. I've seen little children do that when there's so much noise and they can't take it anymore. They'll put their hands on their ears and they just, you know, they want it to stop. And that's where the nations of the world, there's so much distress, there's so much turmoil, affliction, calamity, misery. There's definitely distress of nations. This is just characteristic of the times in which we live. And so distress of nations. And then it says also in that verse, with perplexity. When you have perplexity, that word means a state of quandary. And what that means is the nations will not know what to do about their many, many problems that they have. I believe we are quickly coming to a place like that, not only in America, but among all the different nations of the world. They're in a quandary. They are perplexed. They are distressed. They don't know what to do about their physical problems. Look at all the national catastrophes just in the past 20 years, one thing after another after another. We've had this in America. The Philippines, they have had in the past 4 or 5 months, they've had a major earthquake that brought much death and devastation. Then just a short while after that, they had a typhoon, and they said about that typhoon is the greatest storm to ever hit the earth. And everything that comes along, it's the biggest, it's the baddest, it's the worst that's ever been. Yesterday, I seen a headline that said the coldest temperature ever recorded, and it was minus 135 degrees somewhere. I don't know where, but that's the character of the times. Everything is worse. Everything is greater, stronger. We're talking about just the natural forces. And that goes back to the beginning of verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And so the whole world is just in an uproar, it seems like. And nations, they don't know what to do about their physical problems, their economic problems, their political problems, socially, morally. Distress of nations with perplexity is what the Bible says. Now, right now in the world, there's much talk about war, World War III. This comes up over and over again in headlines, talking among nations, World War III. In fact, my youngest child, 5 years old, it wasn't a month ago, I forget what we were at home, but she comes up and asks me, what's World War? Well, I guess she'd heard me talking about it. I don't know, but I'd been saying something about the news. What's World War? Lots of talk. China right now is flexing its superpower muscles. And I read an article today that said experts, it was in a Business Insider article, and it said experts say that war with Japan is inevitable. It's going to happen in 2014. Well, I'll just say this. They don't know no more than anybody else knows. But the experts, the people that watch things that are going on in the world, they have a pretty good idea that China and Japan is going to go to war very soon. Tensions escalating over there. And if they go to war, well, that involves the Philippines. It involves Taiwan. It involves the United States, because we have bases in Japan, the Philippines, Guam. China is allies with North Korea. Everybody's concerned about a while back, just a few months ago, about North Korea. They are threatening to launch a nuclear attack upon the United States of America. Well, that's bad, and we certainly ought to be concerned about that. But what we ought to be more concerned about is North Korea and China are allies. So what North Korea, they might have the bite. They don't have the bark. Well, China's got both. They've got the bark. They've got the power. They've got nuclear weapons. They've got a multi-million man army. And so just North Korea and China. And then we've got Iran and Israel. Saudi Arabia, the whole Middle East, Syria, Egypt, Libya, that civil war is still going on in Syria. Israel is the Middle East is a hotbed for violent activity always going on, and it's nonstop. In fact, it is so prevalent that to hear news about it, we don't think anything about it, because that's all we've heard. That's all we've heard. Trouble, turmoil in the Middle East. This has been constant now for years and years and years. Distress of nations with perplexity. And everything is changing over there so fast. Where used to be the Middle East was somewhat stable, where in Egypt you had Mubarak and in Libya you had Gaddafi, but still there was some stability there. And now, since the United States has come in and sort of stuck our nose in everybody's business, everything is up in a question mark. Distress of nations with perplexity. There's Russia also, a rising world power, coming to the top once again. And you see that Russia has made comments towards the United States of America. They're not our friend. It's sort of like it used to be, the Cold War coming back around again. You have Afghanistan, you have Iraq, you have African nations in turmoil, and on we could go. You have economic problems in the world, Ireland, Greece, Italy, most of Europe. The United States have serious economic problems, more so than most people realize. And the thing is, there's no answer. There's no fix to this. Or if there is a fix, people are not interested in it. I want to read just a little paragraph from an article, the U.S. Journal. This is a newspaper I've promoted before, and it's very worthwhile to get a copy of the U.S. Journal coming to your house. But this was the November issue. Front page says, "Bankrupt America Resumes Spending." It's by John Stossel. He said, "What would you think of a person who earned $24,000 a year but spent $35,000? Suppose on top of that, he was already $170,000 in debt. You'd tell him to get his act together, stop spending so much, or he'd destroy his family, impoverish his kids, and wreck their future. Of course, no individual could live so irresponsibly for long. But tack on 8 more zeros to that budget and you have the checkbook for our out-of-control, big-spending federal government. And as our nation goes down the drain economically, don't think that the nations of the world are not going to be chafed by this as the dollar falls away and other nations lose billions and trillions of dollars because of their interaction with the United States of America. You talk about distress of nations with perplexity. We are there. Well, we see these signs of the times. They are everywhere for those who bother or care to see them. There are definitely specific signs of the times that we can look to and point to. Now, the reason for doing a study like this is so that you might be ready. Matthew 24:44 said, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." Are you saved? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? He's coming soon. That's what the signs say. Well, our time is quickly coming gone. Noah's going to come. Give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wing Greer, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.